Take a quick listen and see if you still agree. Again, tune in and hear Voices on WESU Middletown.
You're listening to 88.1 FM WESU Middletown, a community service of Wesleyan University. Up next is The Business Buzz with Jeff Sherman, taking a look at innovative and cool technology and businesses right here in Connecticut. Catch The Business Buzz each and every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. as part of our Monday through Friday 4 p.m. local talk block, only on 88.1 FM WESU Middletown.
The Business Buzz on WESU is proudly sponsored in part by Carlson and Demir. Located right here in downtown Middletown, Carlson and Demir providing legal representation for victims of serious injury and for those facing criminal charges. On the web at carlsondemir.com, 860-819-1034.
And welcome to another edition of The Business Buzz. I'm your host, Jeff Sherman. Marty Keene is in Studio B. And Marty, do you remember that theme song?
I love that theme song. And it was always, the dating game was sort of like one of the funniest things, because it was like the newlywed game. You never kind of knew the answers that would come out that would be like so off the charts.
And it's Chuck Barris.
Oh yeah, Chuck Barris. Yeah,
who actually made a fortune on pretty much schlock TV, yep. The Gong Show, Dating Game, Newlywed Game. But you know, it's funny about the Newlywed Game that they had a lot of celebrities like Farrah Fawcett. What's the guy? Magnum, whatever his name. And they were on it. I guess a great way to get some airtime, if you will. But today's subject, for all of you out there, we're public service radio, is about dating. Our first guest is Jessica Assad Wu. She is an expert in that field, Marty. And it'll be interesting. Get your pen, because I know you need some tips. I try to help you all the time.
Thank
but,
you.
You know, we need an expert at this point. So anyway, without further ado, Jessica, are you there?
I am.
Well, Jessica, before we begin the conversation, maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about you.
I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in private practice in West Hartford Center, and I've been in practice 28 years.
Very nice. And your expertise, experience in dating, you counsel people on that?
Right. Mostly couples and individual adults, so both on the side of people trying to find mates, and then people in couples therapy.
Okay, well, I think the dating landscape has certainly changed over the last 20 years. Maybe you can comment on that.
Absolutely. Primarily in the realm of online dating, things are very different for people. So the rules of engagement for online dating are very different than when you meet people organically. One, there's such a vast pool of eligibles. There's a book, I don't know if you've read it, The Paradox of Choice, Barry Schwartz, and he talks about that the more options that are available to people, actually the less likely they are to make a choice.
Whoa, so that is fascinating to me because, okay, that's really interesting. I'm not on online dating or what. I'm not on one of those sites, but
right.
I know people that are, and we talk about it. You know, I live vicariously through them. It's amazing that you said that because men think the scenario is that women, it's basically a kid in a candy store, that, you know, they get whatever X amount of emails a day. And that's amazing that you said that, because I love theory, and that was one of my theories, is that they may a woman may go on, let's say, a Match or eHarmony, whatever, you know, with the intentions of finding Mr. Right, but because there's so many options, it never really happens. Because it's so alluring that why make a choice?
Right. There's sort of layers to it. So the first is that there's a paralysis that happens when you have... He did some studies where he would offer people a small number of choices and a larger... One was using jams, so there were a choice of 6 jams and then 24 jams. And when people had a choice of 6, they could make a choice. When it was 24, most of the people walked away without making a choice.
So in the end...
a higher percentage.
Isn't that kind of a paradox that... By not making a choice, you know, someone who goes on the site with the intentions of actually meeting someone 3, 5 years, 8 years, whatever it is, years later, months later, their goal wasn't accomplished.
Right. So you have to be aware of that, you know, that these algorithms, what the online does for you is basically it can put you in front of people, but you can't lose sight of that, you know, those people aren't vetted. You have to do the work of creating a relationship, you know, build that with the person that you're with. So the other layer to the problem, so there's anxiety that happens when there are too many choices. But interestingly, when people did make a choice, they were actually less satisfied with the choice they would make.
Wow, why is that?
So in part... It was easy to imagine that with all those options available to you,
whoa,
you could have had a better choice.
So the grass is always greener.
Yeah, correct. So if you think about what happens in online dating, people might meet someone, they go a little bit into the relationship. At the first sign of difficulty, they might feel like, well, I can, you know, there's 100 other people I could be dating.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose sight of that. That's not how relationships work. We're all human. We're all flawed and fallible. You can use this as a mechanism for getting in front of people, but it's certainly not going to help you to create the relationship that you want.
Now, did you ever counsel someone that went through this paradox of too many choices and ended up dissatisfied at the end of the game?
Right. I mean, I counsel them on a lot of things. So it depends also on the person. The interesting thing about women is that sometimes they're on the end where their belief, even as they approach the first date, is that I need to convince this person that they want to be with me.
Hmm.
So part of what we work on is just how to set healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries just look like, you know, you need to know what you want. So you need to be clear about that, but you're not... And you are trying to interview this person to understand, you know, who they are inherently. Because in the end of the day, it isn't all the, you know, superficial things, their looks, what kind of job the person has. It's their character that's going to determine what kind of relationship you have.
That's interesting you say that. But with online dating, does the character take a back seat to things
exactly.
like looks?
Well, you can't. Actually, that was part of his study, that you can't, you know, when people are... making these choices from such a vast array of options that they inherently become superficial. There's too many things to choose from, so you narrow it down to superficial categories.
Very interesting. So let's switch a little bit from the online dating to what would you consider, you know, the rules of attraction? You know, when you first meet someone, what are some do's and don'ts?
Well, primarily there's room for people to be unique and different. Primarily what's attractive to people are people who feel secure with themselves, right? So you can be different. You can have your, you know, whatever quirks about you, but people who seem uncomfortable with themselves, there's a way that we read each other subconsciously within the first, you know, few minutes of, or 30 seconds really of meeting someone. And that kind of discomfort creates discomfort for the other person. So if people, I often find people who will, you know, come to me because they'll say, I've been dating for, you know, X amount of time and I always end up in the same situation and it's so terrible for me. And really the work begins and ends with that person's sense of self.
No, well, I think that's true. I think that's very interesting, simple, but interesting and probably profound, because if you're not happy with yourself, you really can't make anyone
right.
else happy, correct? It's kind of old school.
And it also makes the situation ripe for, let's say, how you're unhappy with yourself is you believe that my value is in making other people happy. Well, now, you're ripe for the picking for somebody who believes, that's right, your job is to make me happy. And pretty soon, you'll be unhappy in that relationship.
Well, interesting. So, you know, when we look at the whole scenario, especially, let's say, midlife people, are there do expectations change in the dating area when you're maybe divorced or separated, you have kids, you know, the whole story?
I think people, you know, whatever has happened to you, of course it's going to inform how you feel about relationships. It's why therapy is so helpful, because it has you looking at, like, sometimes, often without being conscious of it, people will, without really knowing they're doing it, hold this new person accountable for hurts that have nothing to do with them, and maybe their behavior reminds you of something, but that's not even what's happening right now. So, of course, by the time, you know, we're middle-aged, enough things have happened that you probably have a list of things that are triggers for you, and those are going to come up, and then it's really between you and you how you handle that, but lots of times people don't see that, and they'll, you know, create conflict in relationships or maybe end a relationship too early because they don't even know, can this person work it out with me?
Now, that must be something that comes up in your practice, that, you know, do you sometimes put up too many barriers and walls,
right,
that no one's really going to make the grade?
Right. They think they're protecting themselves, but you can make the firewall so good that nothing good can get in either.
Interesting. Marty, we have one more question for you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm kind of visualizing the Jerry Maguire movie where they finally go out on their date and they say, well, Jerry, let's not share our sad stories, you know. So, like, when you go out with someone like this, is it – how honest do you really want to be? I mean, do you want to try to set a new scenario for your own life? As you say, sometimes in middle life we have had so many experiences we don't want to project guilt. But at the same time, you know, do you want to be open enough to say, this is where I am and this is where I'm, you know, hoping to go? And if that is where, how long do you wait to do that, you know, so you don't impact the relationship that maybe you're trying to build?
Well, first, you know, if there's vulnerabilities that you have, you would want to know first and foremost that the person's worthy of your openness, right? So in the beginning stages, you're really trying to figure out how much you trust a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, whatever happened to us is not necessarily, you know, an inhibitor. It's how we're dealing with that hurt. So
mm-hmm.
you can tell people what happened to you, but at the end of the day, whatever those triggers are, it's also how you're handling them.
That makes, you know, a lot of sense. Now, Jessica, sorry, we're up against it, and we want to have you back on the show, but for our listeners out there, how can they get in touch with you and maybe seek your expertise?
You could call me at 860-521-8888, extension 3.
Say that number one more time.
Oh, sorry, 860-521-8888, well, or you can Google my name. It's Jessica Asardwu, Assard hyphen W.
Well, Jessica, you've been a great guest. Hopefully you've enjoyed the experience. Consider this like a first date with the buzz. There you go. But I hope you enjoyed the experience.
I did. Thank
we certainly
you,
enjoyed your expertise, and we'll have you on again, okay?
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Well, Marty, I thought, you know, again, for our listeners out there, I'm taking a break from politics. I can't handle it anymore. It's, you know, it's going to the well too many times. So we thought we'd mix it up. And I thought it's something that's very topical, interesting. I thought she was a great guest, Marty. What do you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd be interested in, if we have an opportunity to speak with her again, is, you know, is there a little bit more, or rather, is there less apprehension when you're set up through a friend than maybe making your own judgments off of a site? So,
I would say that, well, from my sales days, when you go in or an interview, let's say, for a job, when you come in recommended, it takes a lot of pressure off. So to answer your question, I'm not the expert, believe me. But I would say that would take a lot of pressure and probably get you establish a level of comfort sooner.
Right off the bat. Yeah.
Well, yeah, sooner rather than, you know, you're doing the, you know, the fact checking and mm-hmm. weeding out and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But does it feel good to you, Marty, to take a little vacation from
it does.
Politics?
It does. And I think it was almost becoming a caricature of the Stones. You know, we were talking about things over and over again, and you know, it wasn't as if we were making it up, but I think that there's enough people who follow politics enough to really know what's going on, and our points of view were sort of reiterating what we had heard anyway, but we love the fact that our callers were so passionate about it.
We're going to return to it.
Oh, yeah, but for today,
we need a little hiatus, a breather.
It's spring coming up, and love is in the air, and dating is out there, and we're just trying to help everybody out with that regard. But I was fascinated with the fact, with the paradox of choice. You know, when we go back to the different things that we've talked about in business and opportunities in that regard, it's the same thing. Sometimes when you have too many options, it's very difficult to make that choice. And I could see how anxiety comes up, especially if you don't have that strong sense of self that she talked about, that, you know, making a choice could be very difficult. And I'm sure age scenario has a lot to do with that. You know, when you're in your 20s, you're out in the dating scene. You know, I was having dinner last night with my son, who's 26, and he's single, right? So we're out in West Hartford, and they have a lovely set of restaurants out there. So we're at this one restaurant. And he's just looking around, and while we were leaving, he's chuckling. And I'm going, what are you doing? He says, this place is a target-rich environment. Okay. You know, and I didn't see that at my age, but he's like, oh, I may have to come back here.
Well, God bless him. So our next guest is Ronnie Ann Ryan. She's an expert on online dating. She helps people to become more successful in this area, and she also has a lot of expertise. So I think that's a great follow-up to our first guest.
Sure.
What do you think, Mark?
I love it. And sure. It seems like that's where most people are headed. So
it's a public service, my friend.
That's it.
All right. So without further ado, I got to my mic. Okay. Ronnie Ann Ryan, are you there?
I am here.
Well, thank you so much for joining The Buzz. I think your area of expertise and focus is obviously very topical, and I think would be of great interest to our listeners. And that's what we're all about. And if you didn't hear us, we were taking a break from politics. I'm getting a headache. Okay, I can't deal it. Can't do it anymore. Sorry.
Okay.
I need to take 2 weeks. So that's why you're on. Not beyond your expertise, but yes, we had to move on, and we're going to take a little 2 week vacation from politics. I'm sure you can appreciate that.
So, oh yes.
So one thing that we talked about on off air that I found very interesting. That when I talk to my male friends who are online dating, they have an impression that it's all skewed towards women, that they're having this great time and men are getting the short end of the stick. And off air, you said that many female women that you would talk to, their experience isn't all that great either.
Well,
and what makes it all, and what are some of the things that make it not as fun as it maybe could be?
Well, I guess first I want to say that I think it's the good and the bad are gender neutral. In other words, you could get online regardless of being a man or a woman and have a great experience or a really disappointing experience. And a lot of that is due to expectations and sometimes a lack of information. Because there's a lot more to being online than just writing any old thing, posting a few pictures, and having at it. There's actually strategies and things you can do that will really help you meet a lot of people or get in the way big time.
Whoa, okay, let's lead with that. I like that, you know, because I'm a Neanderthal. I just thought you post a picture, say I like ducks and I like bowling and I was a baseball player when I was 12 and blah, blah, and I like cello music, whatever. You're telling me there's more to it than that, huh?
There is.
And, yeah, so let's talk about that. How do you turn a losing strategy into a winning strategy?
Wow. Now that's
See, that's why I get paid the big bucks, because I ask the best questions ever.
All right, well, the most important thing is if you're going to get online and you're new to it, please, please, please learn about what it takes, because it's not really as simple as it looks. It should be simple, but what is in life, really?
True.
So, you know, first things first, you have to be positive. You want to focus on what you do want. A lot of people mistakenly focus on what they don't want, thinking that they are weeding people out, but really they're turning people off.
Okay, so saying like, I don't know, I don't want, well,
no couch potatoes.
No couch potatoes. I want obviously someone maybe employed. You know, all these like lists, even though they're very rational. It sends a signal that about you, correct? Instead of being positive, I'm looking for someone to go on hikes with me or whatever, okay? That kind of thing.
Because if you make a list of things, don't apply if you're a guitar player who doesn't have a second job or you're unemployed or you have a crazy ex-wife, you know, or you're just a player. So already you're saying four negative things about guys before you've even started. Same thing goes for the men. You know, if you go on about how must be model thin and, you know, whatever, you know, guys are looking for, you know, it's the same problem.
That cracked me up a little bit. You actually have that cracks me up because I've seen that before, that you got someone that's, not in the best of shape themselves, and they're looking for Christie Brinkley. I mean,
yeah. Well, it happens a lot. I mean, there are women who are looking beyond their means, and there are men who are looking beyond their means. Then there are people who are reasonable. So everything's out there.
Okay. Now, the guest before you had an interesting concept because, like, I've talked to I know like two or three men. One of them at work that's on, you know, online, whatever it is, you know, doing online dating. And the conclusion was that it's a playground for women. They get like, you know, whatever, I don't know, X amount of emails. And for men, it's not the same. And our first guest had an interesting concept. And I love your comment on this, that there was actually scientific studies that suggested and proved that when you have too many choices, you end up making no choices.
Well, you know, that's true for kinds of tea and breakfast cereal, as well as picking a mate, you know.
Okay, but let's run through the scenario. If you're someone and you just met Bob, Bob's a good guy, but then you get three other emails from Fred, Johnny, and whatever, Hector. Aren't you always comparison shopping?
You know, not necessarily. And I can tell you that while men think that's a playground for women, a lot of women think it's just a playground for players who only want to, you know, get them into bed.
You hook up. And I think that's a rap that some of those online dating services have, correct? That it's more of a hookup site. Isn't that correct?
You know, I mean, maybe there's some, like, I can't remember the one that's Ashley Madison.
Oh, wait, do you know what's funny about that? This is hysterical.
Yeah.
Because, okay, there was in the news, I don't know, like 6 months ago. And, you know, anyway, it got to the point, like, okay, what woman's really going to go on a site for a hookup? I mean, it's not really all that complicated to do. It's not like launching the space shuttle. So, anyway, what happened was they got hacked, but then there was further due diligence and they discovered that a lot of it was kind of fake. In other words, okay, they actually were women that were employed by the company, you know, responding to email. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
So they were just trying to take the men in that case.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They have a picture, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
There's a scam every 10 seconds. You know, we just can't worry about that. You know what I mean? You have to be smart. You know, because you don't want to be giving anyone money on the internet. But going back to your idea about, you know, is this creating candy store mentality? That's what the people talk about on the internet. I don't think it has to be true at all. I think that, you know, maybe some people can get confused, but those are probably people who don't know what they really want, or they're not serious about finding love. They just want to pick through and see how they can bolster their ego or whatever. And that can happen on both sides of the gender fence. You know?
Sure. So it's always you're giving, you know, positive. If let's say your ego needs that you're being always reassured that I'm attractive, I'm wanted, all that stuff. So,
well, not everybody appeals to everybody. So I encourage people to spend some time making a list of what they want and then cull it down to the five real top priorities, you know, because if you're going to get infinitesimal with every detail, you're never going to find anyone. So it's really important to know what you want and then focus on the top five things, like somebody who has a good heart, who has a sense of humor, who accepts who you are and doesn't judge you. You know, these really basic qualities that make for the potential of a lasting relationship. And then maybe they like to ski or something that you like to do. And then you go from there and you have to get to know them.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So before I throw it out to Marty, let's talk a little bit about what you do in terms of re-engineering a online presence.
Wow, I love that. I'm going to use that. Re-engineering, that's
beautiful. You really got to always listen to this show. I never cease to amaze myself. Yes. So let's talk about that.
Okay. All right. So what I do is I give my clients a worksheet, and I have them fill it out. And that's what helps me get to know them. And then using their language, I build a profile for them based on what is an absolute ton of research I've done, investigating what all the experts have to say, all the top experts, both men and women, about the best way to write these things. And then I have...
Can I just interject one thing? What, in terms of from my business background, what would be the, in other words, the uptake in terms of percentage of effectiveness from going to what I described as, you know, I like, you know, boating and fishing and blah, blah, you know, the standard and what you can do. I mean, how much more does it enhance the probability?
Well, at the very least, it'll take out those offensive things that you don't even know are offensive.
Okay, let's talk about what would it be that things that you don't even know?
Well, for example, when women say, you must love my children, you must love dogs, you must have blah, 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 whatever it is, or when men say that, you know, the must thing, very demanding.
Uh-huh.
Now you look very hard to please, and somebody could easily just flip right past you.
Got it. So even if it's not on the conscious level and the subconscious level, it's like, ah, this is going to be tough to please, move on.
Yeah, and it's just, it's word usage that you might not even realize is problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like building an honest resume. You know, you don't want to overstate your qualifications, but you also want to be true to yourself so that, you know, if in fact you do meet your date or your new employer, you know, you're not having to defend yourself for things that they might have thought they were going to encounter.
Well, yeah, actually, I wrote a book with a headhunter that was called Job Search Equals Love Search, 10 Career Strategies That Help You Find Love, too, because it's a very similar process, and if people would think about it like that, they would do much better because they wouldn't bash their old boss or their old company or their ex-husband or wife.
Yeah, I was saying that to me, you know, I don't know how anyone would actually want to do that on an online profile, but I would imagine when you get to that date,
the meeting,
that would be one of the worst things to do. I can't even imagine a worse thing.
They do it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
You know,
that's a short dinner.
Yeah, that mean. Yeah, when I say that, it doesn't suggest a lot of judgment.
There's a lot of people though who get together and complain.
Hmm.
It's just what happens. I'm just letting you know what happens.
Okay. So.
So yes, I can help them really improve the number of responses they get. I mean, I'm not in charge of who they pick and
sure.
What happens on the date, but I can definitely help them improve the response rate.
And you've seen, you know, people that have worked with you, they email you or call you back and say, I can't believe how much things have changed.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, I also do longer coaching packages to help people really understand what dating is about today, especially over 40 and what it's like to date as an adult versus like you talked about your son who was 26. That's a very different world.
How is it different? Obviously, there's an age, but I'm not an expert, so how is it different?
They grew up in a whole different time frame with very different social mores and things. It's completely different. There's a lot more gender equality at the beginning of the dating phase where over 40 and definitely in their 50s, things are a lot more traditional than people would think. That's uh-huh. What works best. So there's some similarities, but there's a lot of things that are very different.
And that goes back to how you were raised as a child, too. I mean, the cultural mores and, you know, here in Connecticut, I would imagine that there's a sensibility that maybe back to our Puritanism type things. But, you know, do you find state by state, perhaps, if you get together with professionals at conferences and such, do you find that the similarities in terms of human need or are there, you know, different expectations at different parts of the country?
You know, that's a really excellent question, and there's absolutely a difference in the different geographic areas. For example, people in like from Denver and then going west, Colorado going west, they're much more, I hate to say this, but it's very true, open and friendly and warm and willing to talk and just meet people and give people a chance. Where people on the East Coast can be tough, quick to judge, you know, and this is crazy generalizations, but I can tell you that, especially in the winter, you know, in New England, people are just not as friendly until it gets to the summer months, and then they kind of come out of their shell, and they're much friendlier and warmer, and I ramp up for the spring and summer season, encouraging people to hurry up, get out there. People are friendly right now.
Well, that's interesting. You know, it's on a little downer note. Can you believe it's going to, like, snow tonight?
I refuse to think about
it. Oh, God, it's unbelievable. So that's got to affect.
Well, if you have a date, you know, you have a chance to get that last log in the fire.
There you go.
Ah, there you go. A romantic guy.
He's a romantic guy. Marty's very romantic. He is, there's no question about that. Is there any sites that are better for, you know, let's say, older? Is there any sites that you think are better than others?
Okay. I think bigger is better. So I think Match is really one of the best opportunities. It has the most people by far. I think matching sites are not so hot.
Like what's a matching site? Like an eHarmony or something?
Yeah, because to be really honest with you, my experience is that men don't want to fill out 200-something questions. They just want to look at the pictures, read a short profile, and have at it. And their process works great. And again, this is one of those age things. For people under 30, the young guys are more willing, they have more sensitivity, and they're more willing to go through that process, where I have found men over 40 and 50, forget it. You know, there are not many men on those sites. So there's other ones like that. There's Chemistry, which is part of Match, and there's a couple other ones. So I don't recommend those. I don't even think you need to pay attention to the matches that Match will give you. Just get on there and reach out to some people and see who responds to you. And if you're interested in the matches, check them out. But don't count on them.
Now, how do you reach out to someone online? I mean, is there do's and don'ts?
Honestly, there's a woman named Lori Davis, and she coined this phrase, and I adore it, which is that think of online dating like a big cyber cocktail party. And you can be friendly to anyone, and that there's nothing aggressive about it. So the best thing to do is not to say, hey, we have a lot in common, check out my profile. Very dull.
Be imaginative is what you're saying. Just like at a cocktail party, you're not going to say, gee, weather's a little cold today. I mean, he needs to have a little more creativity.
Yeah, like I have clients who start out by saying hello, and I can tell you that doesn't work. What you want to do is read the profile. See if there's something that interests you. Like if you see that a woman likes yoga and as a man you've done any yoga, you could say, hey, I see you like Bikram yoga. That's that hot yoga or whatever. I've done Hatha, you know, what else do you like or whatever. Or, you know, comment on something in the profile. Like if you see a guy and he likes motorcycles and you're willing to ride, you could say, hey, I see you like motorcycles. What's your favorite, you know, day
brand
long ride?
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, that's good. So you try to establish commonality.
Yeah, like you're trying to engage them in conversation. The whole point of this is to get to meet them.
Sure.
And people forget that sometimes. They do all this emailing and texting. Forget that. Get to meet them as quickly as you can.
No, that's interesting you said it, because I have a friend that he hated Match, and he said that he was like texting for like days, whatever.
Yeah, but you know why that was?
Why?
Because, and no offense to your friend, but
that's all right. He's a dummy. Don't worry about it.
In the, you know, for men over 40, hello, you're in charge. So ask her out if you want to see her. Ask her out.
What do you mean you're in charge? Oh, because of the roles.
Gender roles.
Got
yeah.
it. Okay.
So it's your job to ask a woman out. So if you're texting forever, that's because you're not getting to the meat of it. And ask the woman out.
So could it be a turnoff by having a guy on and on about aren't the flowers nice and, you know, the sun was blue today? I mean, do women, I'm talking about, you know, we live in a traditional state, expect the guy to finally pull the trigger?
Yes.
So, okay, that's good. That's interesting stuff. And do sometimes men have to be kind of told that by you, that you need to get to the...
Honestly, it does surprise me. Some guys know. And some guys have forgotten. I don't know how that's happened.
Well, I think the women's movement had a lot to do with that. I think the fact that a lot of men see women as equals. So even though there's a role that we traditionally have played, we also don't want to play it so strong that we come across as Neanderthal.
True.
And
true.
At the same time, you want to show your sensitivity side. So, you know, I find it quite difficult to kind of balance that piece out, you know.
Well, let me help you with something on that.
Good. He needs a lot of help, trust me.
Women who are chicks in charge, who make things happen, get things done, and have successful careers, they respect men who know how to get things done and make things happen just like them. So, and a lot of very successful women wish some guy would just call, ask her out, set up a date, pick a restaurant so she can just relax.
Got it. So, yeah, okay. So, you know what? It seems to me that, Ronnie, even though, yeah, the roles have changed, in the DNA of women, there's still an expectation for a man to lead.
Well, let me tell you, it's in our DNA, period. You know, and this, I don't know if you ever saw that Defending the Caveman show, that one-man show. It was awesome, all about how men and women communicate. But it really brought to my attention, brought it home for me, how much this really is in our DNA. Because men still have better long-distance vision coming from being hunters in prehistoric time, and women still have much better peripheral vision coming from gathering and watching children. So a lot of this actually does go back to DNA, not in the relationship stage, though. That's where things have dramatically changed, because now men and women are equals in relationship. But in the beginning of dating, I have found, for the most part, over 40, that what works best is when men pursue initially.
Huh. Interesting. Because don't you have to walk the balance between, you know, there's all these things of like, you know, play hard to get and don't call and blah, blah. Manipulation, I don't think works, correct?
It's not about manipulation. It's just about how things still work. And this is how things still work. And all the relationship experts and dating experts all talk about this very thing, and this is what confuses the heck out of people. But if they just think, over 40, if you just go back to the traditional dating behavior where the guy asks the woman out, and then the woman gets to choose yes or no. Now, sometimes women will ask a guy out, and that's okay. But I found if women consistently pursue men, that doesn't work, because men want to have it be their idea.
Okay. And now how many, let's talk about my friend that did the texting for, like, whatever. I think he celebrated a birthday in between. But anyway, how do you, in your expertise, what's the proper amount of time? If the goal is to get a date, how much should you go back and forth and then finally pose the question? And should you do it on the phone or should you do it by text?
Well, to me, you should have, you know, 2, 3, 4 rounds of texting. And then if things go well, just get to the phone and say, hey, you want to talk on the phone? Most guys know it's best to give your number because women want to, you know, hit *67 before they call to hide their caller.
Got it.
You know. So the best thing is and then have a 20-minute conversation, not 2 hours. And then at the end, if you like her, ask her out. And just go for a beer, a cup of coffee, a glass of wine, 60 minutes. Don't put a lot of pressure. The first date's called date zero. Make it simple and just see, can you have a fun conversation?
So you're not going to go to the winery, then have dinner, then take a ride to the...
Not on a first date,
yeah,
no.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's... So do... And that, I would think, in your area of expertise, would be a big no-no that you have to tell men. You don't have to go crazy to try to impress this person. Just go for a beer and a pretzel and call it a day, right?
Yeah, keep the first date short. And if you like her and you want to see her again, feel free to ask her out at the end of the date, or at least say, hey, can I call you, or whatever.
Sure.
Because that shows your interest, and then don't wait a week to call her, because she's going to be jumping out of her skin by then.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the adage of that's the thing to do, that you need to, like, you know, yeah, you know, chill out or whatever?
Yeah, you don't want to be needy and desperate as a man either, so you can wait 3 days before you ask her out again if you want. But if you wait a whole week, what you're really telling her is, I had a whole week of stuff that was way more important than you.
Okay, interesting.
What about the transition from the kinds of things you were describing for setting up the resume per se, for a better description, and then using that same strategy when you're out on your own. You know, so you're saying, well, I like to have motorcycles or I like to ride horses. Is there something that you could do? I think it's probably easier online because you're not getting immediate rejection. But, you know, when you go to a bar, you go to a restaurant, you see somebody and they might have an interesting tattoo. You know, is that your in where you go, well, I was just noticing that you have this really cool tattoo on your arm. And, you know, I was wondering if you could talk to me about that.
That's beautiful.
Well, maybe there's hope for Marty. What do you think?
So
that's good. So it's the same thing as kind of doing it online, is you're trying to draw some similarities. Like, I see that you're a problem drinker. We have that in common. Anyway, just kidding, obviously. But yeah, no, so that's good. Now, do you also help coach people about just meeting people in the real world?
You know, the real world has really shrunken.
So it's more an online scenario.
You can meet men and women out in the real world, but it's a lot harder. It's actually a lot harder for women because a lot of men love to go home and get on the computer. And so when women who are over 40 and especially over 50 say, where are the men? Where are they? I'm like, they're online, so get over it and get online. They're also using dating apps. Tinder, Bumble, Coffee Meets Bagel. That's gotten very big.
Now, wasn't Tinder once a hookup site?
Yeah, it was a young person's hookup site. That's way over.
Wow.
So it's more serious daters site.
Well, there's everybody on there, just like there is online.
Got it.
And Bumble is one where women, you know, men can reach out, but they can't get to you unless you approve them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little more...
It's like a loan.
...control for the woman who feels like she's had it or whatever. Try Bumble. That's another option.
Now, for women... What are some, are there indicators that the guy's a player or not? I mean, is there giveaways?
That.
What's that?
I have an Amazon bestseller called Is He the One? Find Mr. Right by Spotting Mr. Wrong. And
good. Let's talk about Mr. Wrong. How do you know this guy is just into, at any age, just into hooking up or, you know, actually has some serious intentions?
You know, first I want to say that, you know, he's entitled to be a player. But you, as a woman, it's your job to be smart and figure that out. Because, you know, everybody gets to have their own agenda. So I just want to be clear. Now, to figure that out, though, what you want to know is any guy who starts a sentence with, I don't want to be in a relationship, but I wouldn't mind getting to know you and see what happens.
That's very tacky. But that actually does happen? Honestly. That's kind of brain dead.
And so women hear, oh, he'd like to get to know me and see what happens. That sounds good. They just somehow... ignore the whole first part of the sentence where he's being honest and saying, I don't want a relationship. I don't want anything serious. And somehow that just gets erased, and they just focus on the second half of it. That's a surefire sign that he just wants something casual.
Now, is there in your work, is there a breakdown, like in terms of, let's say, women and then men? What percentage of women, and then we'll go to men, really want to find someone, and what percentage just want to kind of have some fun?
You know, I do not know that. But let's look at it from a statistical standpoint. On Match.com, the statistics in general about online dating are that 20% of people now find someone online. And it can be as high as 35% if you include social media and apps and all that other stuff.
Okay.
So let's say then that, you know, maybe it's 20 to 35% of the people are serious. I don't really know.
Okay. So that's so you're saying the majority are not serious.
Well, the problem is this. Everybody has a different agenda. Some people just want their ego stripped. Some people really don't know what they want. Some people aren't ready to date, but they need some friendship, or they just want to get out there and see if they still got it or whatever.
I gotcha.
There's so many agendas out there. And so you just have to go out and meet people and see if they call again and see if they go out with you again and whatever and see what happens. You know, you have to kind of go out with people a few times to get to know them.
Is it a kind of a numbers game? Like, in other words,
yes.
Like you can't be hung up on, you know, Jane or Fred.
No.
You need to say, okay, you know, ask the question and take the no or the yes, whatever, you know, good or positive or negative, and go on the date. If it's negative, move on. But you,
yes.
Like my friend with the texting for 30 years, that's exactly probably the wrong thing to do, correct?
Yes. And I worked with a guy who was furious. He felt like, why do I feel like I'm begging this woman to go out with me? I said, because you never asked them out.
Huh.
Are there career ramifications? Because I'm sure that there are people who are interested, perhaps, to use these sites, but are a little reluctant to put their picture and such out there, because people who maybe troll through that, I'm thinking of, let's say, a public school teacher or something like that, that they wouldn't want, you know, their information out there where it would come back and have some sort of a ramification on their career, per se.
I think Facebook would be worse than online dating. Because your name is not online dating. You know, there's no name.
Oh, okay, so you always go like, you know...
Anonymous.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, got it.
They might recognize your picture.
Yeah.
But there's nothing... You didn't do anything illegal. I mean, it's not
like... No, it's not about that. It's about listening.
Everybody's allowed to look for love.
Yeah.
And for people who are, you know, more, you know, at risk because they're in politics or something like that, there's probably ways around doing some things where, you know... You might not put your picture up, and then if you interact with people, you send them a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, when you don't put a picture up, you really limit.
Oh, no, I would think that would be a big no-no, right?
Yeah, it really limits it.
And with the kind of privacy rules that seem to be repealed now with Mr. Trump, is there any concern on online dating sites about, you know, the kind of information that would be available to, you know, be sold or anything in that regard in terms of privacy and your use of the computer?
My only thing would be that on OkCupid, there's a whole lot of very personal sexual questions, and don't answer them.
Oh, you mean on the site itself?
What are they going to learn about you, you know?
Oh, so on OkCupid, it has sexual questions.
A lot of them.
So is that more of a hookup site than Match?
Well, it might be for people who answer those questions.
Okay. Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to do that if you're, like Marty said, you care about your career. Well, just Ronnie and Ryan, you've been an excellent, hopefully you've enjoyed the experience.
Oh, it was so fun. Thank you so much.
So you'll have to come on again. I think you're very topical. You were a great guest. Marty, would you agree?
Absolutely. I'd like to hear more about her books.
And so let's talk about two things. Number one. How do people get in touch with you? They want the expert. How do they seek out Ronnie and Ryan?
Well, they can always call me. I'm here in Connecticut with you guys, 203-877-3777, or go to my website, which is nevertoo.late.biz.
Yeah, you told me, I think you told me actually that you're working with a 70-year-old.
Yes, I am. I have a woman who's 70 who her husband passed away, and she's ready to find love again.
Well, that's good for her. So let's talk also about your books in the closing segments, and how can our listeners get some of your books if they are so inclined?
Okay. Everything's on Amazon. You could go to my author page, which would be, you know, just type in Amazon, Ronnie and Ryan, and my author page will probably come up with my books. And they're all listed there. So I have Manifesting Mr. Right, which is my flagship book about how to find love as a woman. But you could flip all the pronouns and use it if you're a man, too. Then I have the one Job Search Equals Love Search. Then I have Why Can't I Find Love? And the last one, which is the Amazon bestseller. You know, I've sold over 9,000 copies of that book. It's so exciting. Is He the One? Find Mr. Right by Spotting Mr. Wrong.
Nice. And if someone wanted to have their profile, you do their profile, is it, you know, something that's out of the reach of most people, or is it?
No, it's very reasonable.
Well, that's good. That's good information. I think. I know that's in your best interest to say so, but I think you're an honest person. Do you think it's really worth it if someone's going to go online to maybe get it done right by seeking someone like you?
I think you should get your pictures done, and that could be $300, and I'm going to charge less than that to write your profile. So I think it's worth it. I mean, how much is love worth to you? Is it worth being aggravated or going at it the right way first, right out of the gate? You know, it's up to you.
Well, I like your philosophy. Ronnie and Ryan, thanks so much for being on The Buzz.
It was such a pleasure. I loved it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're a great guest. Thank you very much. Well, you know, we don't have too much time left, so for our listeners out there.
Awesome.
That would, if you want to chime in, if you have a dating experience, good, bad, ugly, whatever, we have like 5 minutes left. You can give us a call at 860-685-7700, 860-685-7700. Anyone out there that's online that's had a positive experience, did you find Mr. or Mrs. Wright? It's all good. So, and what did you think about our guests? I think both guests were quite good. So in the closing segments, you can give us a buzz at 860-685-7700, 860-685-7700.
Well, the one thing that I really admired about both of these folks is that they had strategies. You know, a lot of times we hear theoretical kinds of things for people to perhaps think about, but in this, both women today offered some real solid steps for people to take, even if they didn't seek them out in a professional way. It gave people opportunities to pause and think a little bit about their strategies.
No question about it. Let's see what our caller has. Caller, are you there?
Yes, hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. So you heard the show. What'd you think?
So I just kind of jumped in at the last minute, and I think what I heard was that your guests were saying how she could help people by, you know, positioning them in, like, a great light with great pictures, great profile, et cetera. Is that correct?
That's correct, and do the right profile with the right
verbiage.
Messaging, yes.
So the problem that I have with that is having experienced that, having been on these dating sites for a long time.
How was your experience?
It's, you know, I mean, not great, only because I've come across exactly that, where people have these great profiles, these great phenomenal pictures, and it just doesn't match up when you meet the person, and it's actually...
depressing.
Really, yeah, it disturbs me after a while.
So are you still online?
I'm still online, but I don't want to use the word discouraged, but it's no longer realistic for me, because having dated probably in the last two to three years, having gone on maybe 20 to 30 dates, and honestly, it's going to sound horrible, but I've been disappointed pretty much on 95% of all those dates. So the pictures still match up.
Is it because it's a facial rather than a body picture, or, you know, it might be a pretty girl that, you know, is not the kind of body type you're looking for, or what seemed to happen there?
You know what? It's not even the body type. I mean, you know, we got to be realistic about body types and so forth, but no, the representation is often just not what you end up meeting.
I got you. That makes sense. Well, we certainly thank you for the call. Great call. Thank you.
Happy hunting, actually, now that we have springtime coming along, and I think it's been a timely conversation today. I know that people are starting to, with the snow melting, get out a little bit more. Clothing gets a little bit more stylish, a little bit more revealing, and hopefully the extra pizza and donuts that kept us nice and warm during the wintertime doesn't have a negative effect as we start to move forward and enjoying our time outside. And, you know, as we've had Walt Hampton on before in terms of trying to position ourselves in a successful situation, you know, maybe this is the time to revisit that New Year's resolution that you had made. You know, did you follow through on some of the things that you wanted to do physically? Are you in a good state of mind psychologically? If not, you know, before you go off into the dating world where you don't have a positive self-interest at this point to project, you know, start to build your own personal strength so that when you do meet somebody, you have something to offer and, you know, you're not going to be drained.
Very good. So let's have like three buzzwords and we'll call it a day.
All right. How about Gino Auriemma?
He's the man.
Yep. It's going to be a big night tonight for UConn. Mosul.
A big problem, yes.
You know, it seems to be that Mr. Trump has new strategies to fight ISIS, and that seems to be an area of concern. U.S. women's soccer.
I think that's an area where I think has a lot of growth. It's like women's basketball.
And the equal pay, equal job, is they were looking to perhaps even miss the world championships, but they anteed up the money. And how about just one more? The whole idea of intrigue.
Well, when we talk to our two guests, maybe we need more intrigue.
Yeah, so, I think so.
Anyway, thank all of you for listening. Sorry we dropped a call, but you're listening to WESU 88.1 FM in Middletown. You listen to The Buzz, and tune in next week for another exciting edition of the show. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Well, same old Bobby, same old Pete.
Yeah.